Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
Certainly is. Certainly that time of week again.
Here we are. Here we meet again.
That's right.
In a small room at the back of a suburban home.
That's right. We don't talk during the week. We save it all up. We ignore ourselves, each other, and ourselves, and we get our kids to pass messages to each other in a very passive-aggressive way.
Correct. Do you know I read once the famous comedians, if you're not in Australia, you may not know them, Hamish and Andy.
Sure.
They're like, you know, everyone's local hero.
Favorite local lads.
Anyway, they're good. They're great, actually. And Hamish hosts Lego Masters.
Yes.
Which, you know, as we know, is excellent. And where was I going with this? Oh, yeah. Hamish and Andy famously don't talk to each other during the week. They save it all up for their zing-a-ding-ling chemistry when they jump on the airwaves. Do you do that with Meso?
No. But I don't think we're at the level of, you know.
Hamish and Andy.
No.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, do you
not
talk
to each
other? I
just mean, like, skill-wise, I'm not at all. You know, we talk to each other. I mean, we mostly, like, see each other once or twice a week. We don't, like, chat on the phone or whatever.
No, like, I don't think you guys catch up for drinks otherwise, though.
We don't.
No, your catch-up is your, like,
we've also been locked down for 2 years or whatever. So,
who even knows what we do now? Yeah, that's a very good point.
Anyway, do you know what we're doing this week on Suggestible, the show where we release things?
No, I don't. What? Tell me.
Well, I've got a bunch of things. I want to talk about Ted Lasso. I want to talk about a very small little documentary. And I want to talk about a very special piece of writing here. That I've got from young Claire Tonti, which you unearthed from 1996. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to read this? And you're like, definitely. And I'm like, all right.
I'm not sure anymore.
Well, if you're not sure, let's save it. Let's sit on it for a week.
It's here now. Let's just get to the end of the show.
What are you talking
about?
And
I'll see if I can do it. Because I unearthed it from a box when I was cleaning out in the cupboard. And I haven't stopped thinking about it since because it's making me laugh so much.
Yeah, it's like it's weirdly optimistic and sad. It's just got – it's got it all.
I'm like 11, like 10. I'm writing
so
this
serious. It's so serious.
It's such a – it's
sounds
totally
like a suicide note.
No. All right. Well, we'll save it for the end and we'll see what the listeners think. Are you going first? Or am I?
I'll go first.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this thing up top, aren't we, where we
talk
about
what's going on.
Oh, we get a sizzle going. All right, so – I have got two things to recommend.
Oh.
One of which someone may have seen in my Instagram feed. They're raised garden bed covers. Anyway, they're very special and I got them from a YouTube channel. I'm going to talk about them. And then the other thing I want to talk about is a beautiful artist that I found, an illustrator on Instagram.
Beautiful as in like physically beautiful?
Very much. Inside out, all the things, but also very talented. Because actually what I'm starting to do, I don't know if listeners have noticed this, over the next little while I'm going to be throwing in suggestions for presents for loved ones because I've had quite a few messages from people and let's be honest, mostly blokes saying
like, I don't know my wife.
Yeah, what do I bloody get for my wife?
The trick is you wait till they hint they like something, then you write it down your phone and then like a month before their birthday or whatever, then you purchase it online.
That is correct.
That's
and
the
you
trick.
Do what James does, which is subtly drop it into conversation as well beforehand just to test the waters
just to test
see
the
if
waters.
I want one. I've noticed that you do it.
And what?
Yeah.
You don't know any of my tricks.
I know, I do. And you always have the same look on your face. You're like, so I was just wondering if you'd casually like, I don't know, a printer. Did you like those printers that you saw? Did you like them?
That was a gift, Claire. That was a gift from
that
our
is something
son
else I'm going to talk about later.
Shows.
It was a great gift. Anyway, so that's what I'm
that
doing, listeners. Just on the lead up to Christmas, because we're a while out now and there's still
snakes
time
up
to
on you,
do
though.
Yeah, it does. And you know, I'm all about getting your partner things that they might actually want and not candles.
Mm.
But candles are lovely too. But, you know, there's lots of things out there. There's an array of things. So,
you don't think candles are lame?
No, I like candles. You gave me a delicious sea salt candle
for my
birthday.
It was delicious. I ate most of it.
It was great. You did. Mm. And it was salt and pepper.
That's right.
All right. Yeah. So that's what I'm going to talk about. I think you should go first. Gentlemen's first, as we say on the show sometimes.
Well, I talked about this last week, but I want to talk about Ted Lasso season 2, which is about to have its finale at time of recording this.
Ooh.
It's been a little – it's been mostly positive, mostly good reception, but there is a bit of division about, like, this show took a turn. Hey, this is like my feel-good show, and the characters are – some of them are being mean and having, like, mental breakdowns, and other ones, like, relationships are on the rocks, and there's dating and dramas and whatever and this and that. But I think, though, that it's like, a consistently good show. It's just taking characters in, like, in slightly different direction and added some depth. Not that it wasn't, you know, it didn't have some depth before, but I think it's adding to them. Again, you haven't seen this show, really, have you?
No, I've only watched the first episode and I couldn't get into it. But I think I have to share with you that my brain is broken.
Yeah, that, I think that's my, yeah.
I cannot watch anything at the moment. And which just sounds like such a ridiculous complaint. But I just cannot, my brain just like, I start watching and I'm like, unless it's a murder mystery.
Ooh.
Other than that, and even then, all that happens is I fall asleep.
Have you watched the beach? The beach that makes you old?
No, I have not.
You gonna watch the beach that makes you old?
Does it actually make me
old?
Yeah.
So it's a movie. We just reviewed it on the Weekly Planet. It's about this. It's called The Beach That Makes You Old, and it's about families and they holiday and they go to this beach. But the problem with the beach is, do you know what it is?
No.
It makes you old, but it makes you old like quickly. So you go there and like, and every like hour that passes is like 3 years or something like that. I don't know. So the longer you stay on the beach that makes you old, the longer that
– the older you get.
The older you get until you eventually die or whatever.
Sounds like life, really.
It is, but it's on a beach and it's quicker. It's by M. Night Shyamalan, who you might know from many twists, and he did The Sixth Sense, and then he made progressively worse movies since then. No, that's not true. I like a lot of his movies. But anyway, Ted Lasso season 2 – does deal a lot with like relationships and mental health and like dynamic shifting between the players and the coaches and the people around the club and the owners of the club and things like that. But I never really thought the show was strictly like a feel-good thing. There's a lot of that in that, but to me that show is about like community and people supporting one another and trying to get the best out of each other, but not in like a manipulative way, in a way that's good for that person. So I think this season is just more of an expansion of that. Like they bring in a club psychologist who helps a lot of the people, including Ted Lasso himself, because you kind of delve into why he's so kind of chipper and happy kind of all the time, and you find out a bit more about all of that, which I thought was really interesting. It recently won a lot of Emmys for everything. But no, I still think it's good. I think it's as strong, if not stronger, than it was in season 1. And I will not hear you, Claire, say a bad word against it, or the movie about the beach that makes you old.
Either one. Look, everyone has told me to watch this show, and everyone that I like and respect, even you.
Whoa.
No, you are my favorite number one person, have told me to watch it, and I need to commit because
it's. How sad for you that I'm that person.
No, it's a wonderful time. You and this goat puppet that just sits here looking at me. I don't know if listeners know this, but we have a goat, a giant life-size goat puppet of James's Mr. Sunday Movies. What would you call that? Icon?
Sure.
Yeah, that
Avatar.
Avatar that we got made by a puppeteer. And it's bloody awesome and it kind of just sits here. Anyway, so the goat's staring at me and I can't get it out of my head. Yeah, no, Ted Lasso, everyone has told me to watch it. That's it. I'm going to do it.
You should watch it.
Once the pandemic starts to open up a little bit more.
A few weeks, Claire,
and
hopefully.
And Akitabo that of ours goes back to school.
Approaching 80%, yep.
We are, that'd be good, and then I can do that. So, yes, is it, are there kind of romantic storylines?
Definitely.
Okay,
100%.
Good. Excellent.
There's quite a few, and even more in the second season. And there's a few, but, like, the one I like, the woman who runs the club, who's kind of at the start. I'm not, you know, I haven't seen any of it, so I don't want to spoil any of it, but she kind of delves more, she's divorced and she's kind of delves more into her love life and all this. And there's a particular romantic entanglement, Claire, which I won't get into because it will spoil everything.
Okay.
But it's great. It's really, it's a very good show and I won't hear you, Claire, say a bad word against it.
All right. And it's held up. That's the thing. Because sometimes with these things, the first season can be great and then it just starts to not be as good. You lose the sheen. But it's just as good.
Yeah, I think – I was just looking up. I think Jason Sudeikis is – yeah, he gets – he's for the next season of Ted Lasso, he's going to get $1 million an episode.
Whoa.
which is quite a lot of money.
Whistle worthy.
And he was married to
a shoe.
He was married to a shoe.
A goat.
No, he was married to
an apple.
What's her name? She's an actress.
A frog.
And also
a tree.
A tree. No.
Tra-la-la-la.
What the hell is her name? Olivia Wilde.
Oh.
And now she's dating, what's his name from One Direction? Who also does other things outside of One Direction.
Ah, yes, 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 Harry Styles.
Harry Styles. Anyway.
Harry Styles. I like that dude. He's cool.
People love Harry Styles.
And I like Olivia Wilde too. She's
people
excellent.
Love Olivia
She's
Wilde.
Also great in House too.
Sure. She's also been in much really better cool. things than the show House, All which right. is essentially the same episode again and again.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I like, James, consistency in my television.
Sure.
Consistency and everything gets solved in the end.
Someone
No
should've...
surprises.
You know what happened? Should have happened in that show? House was just like, you know what, all these people in the hospital, I'm sick of you, I'm the smartest. And then someone should just pick him up as he's talking, just throw him into a wood chipper. Just goes, wait, no, I'm the smart, I'm the kind of, people don't even know that I'm, he's done. He doesn't even realize it's happening.
Poor Hugo Weaving. That's very mean.
It's not Hugo Weaving.
Isn't it Hugo Weaving?
It's Hugh Laurie.
Oh, God. I confuse those guys every time.
It's okay.
Now, Hugo Weaving is the Matrix.
He's the Matrix.
And
he's Mr. Matrix.
That's right. He's like, what's that guy in the Matrix?
Agent Smith.
Agent Smith. Okay, I confuse those guys every single time. Sure. And every time I take a stab in the dark and hope that I'm right. And I was hoping I was right that time and I wasn't.
That's okay. What's your plant-based recommendation
right,
this week,
excellent.
Though?
So because I'm having this weird problem where my brain can't stick at watching anything, maybe sure. because I'm homeschooling and we just had school holidays.
And you're also homeschooling me. I'm finally deciding to pass my grade 6 exams.
He's decided. He's decided. No, so I have got back into gardening, which is really exciting because I've been out of the action with the old gardening for like over a year because of our little new bubba that came into the world.
Sure.
But I'm all back into it now and it's spring in Australia, so booyah. Now, I don't even know if anyone remembers from last year, but I had
everything.
A vendetta with a possum. I had a vendetta with a possum that kept eating my bloody broccoli seedlings and all the things, and it was making me real mad. And also there are snails and other critters in the garden that just are constantly chomp, chomp, chomping away. At
That's nature,
seedlings. Clay.
You're going to have to get over it.
I know, but it's so annoying.
No,
and it like
it's
you
nature.
Do all the work of getting the seedlings and putting them in the ground, and then what happens? Then you think, I'm going to be some amazing organic gardener. And no, they get eaten at the stalks. Well,
poison them. You got to poison all those snails, Claire. Is that what
no,
you're saying?
No, I don't want to do any poisoning. We have a dog and we have kids that wander around our garden and also knock off the environment. Don't want any more toxins anyway. However, no longer, James.
Oh.
No longer. Me and the critters have come to an understanding because.
You threw them all in a wood chipper.
No, because of an excellent bloke called Mark Valencia. Who lives on a 3-acre property homestead in southeast Queensland, Australia, 45 k's north of Brisbane. That is isolated.
It certainly is.
It is in a subtropical climate as well, similar
Wait,
to 45 Florida.
45k up from Brisbane.
Mm.
It's not that far.
No, it's really not, is it?
Like probably.
Like a
considering the
40-minute
speed limit on that, it's probably like 120, I would say. Give or take if it's remote.
Correct.
It'd probably be like a 30-35 minute drive.
All right. This is totally boring. Thank you.
But then again, once you hit Brizzy town centre, you would significantly slow down.
Okay. Can I continue?
I like Brisbane.
Oh, God. Guys, there's a screw missing. Anywho, back to my talk about gardens, which is endlessly riveting.
I agree.
Some people are really into it. It's good.
I think it's good. I think gardening's great. I don't. Like it or
do
care
it.
For it or
no,
do it or enjoy
going.
Talking about it or hearing about it. But I think it's great.
All right. Well, it's really good for our kids and also the planet. Anyway, yes. So he lives in like subtropical climate, which is the same as Florida for our American listeners, that
sure.
kind of vibe. And he has a blog called Self-Sufficient Me that he started in 2011. Now, he shares a lot on that blog, but one particular video has changed my life and subsequently the lives of the critters in my garden who will no longer be thwarting me by eating all my food. So the video is on YouTube and it's called 4 Cheap and Easy Ways to Make Raised Garden Bed Covers. Now, people around the neighborhood do this in lots of different ways. I've always wondered. And then I went Googling for ideas to just buy raised garden bed netting covers
to
stop the little critters. And they're so bloody expensive.
I'd imagine they would be because they're looking at a niche market there and they're like, we can definitely jack up the price here.
All right. It's not that niche.
It
is
niche.
A lot of people are into gardens,
Yeah, but
James.
A lot of people aren't. netting their gardening.
Yes, that's
because you have it's two levels. Okay. You got to have garden bed.
Doesn't know anything yet.
Commit to that garden bed. Commit to it enough to like have something flourish in the near future. Have something attacking that garden bed, and then Google around for a solution that's non-chemical based and arrive at this particular product.
All right,
hence the markup.
Okay. Well, okay, fine. You're probably accurate. Also, it's really also growing food in your garden is not a novelty.
It is actually.
People do it. People.
Yeah, but okay. Of all the people we know, I would say like 1 in 17 do it.
No, that's not true. A lot of my friends do it. Actually, most of my friends.
I don't believe you. Because not a single friend of mine does it.
And yet
we have a lot of the same friends.
We have proved yet again that I'm an oddball, an outlier in the human soup.
Yeah, the human soup.
I really recently discovered this, that I you know some people, for you, for instance, are really into like pop culture and know things about all that. And
no,
like a lot of people like the things that you like.
No, that's only because.
Not many people like the things I like.
No, no, that's not true. You like normal people things. And I
do
like.
I?
Well, I don't
I
know.
Spent most
I say
of
that,
my
but like
week
Avengers
week
Endgame.
When I've had a spare minute Googling raised bed
carvers.
Yeah,
fair point. Because like there isn't like a $1 billion raised garden bed movie franchise.
No,
is there?
No, that's what I mean. You're the basic bitch, and I'm the niche intelligentsia
yes,
in this
I guess
scenario.
So. But you know what? If I had to choose between what could exist, raised garden beds and movies, I would choose movies.
Oh God. I would. You wouldn't go and sit and stare at your raised garden bed, which I've been doing. I just go and check
I'd watch the movie Venom 2, Let There Be Carnage, which I can't see at the moment.
All right. Anyway, like what you like, I say. You just like what you like.
Everyone's
anyway,
mad about something.
Back to me and Mark.
Please.
He lives in Queensland. He put this on his YouTube channel because I went looking and they were so bloody expensive. Also really confusing because ours are like a funny, like circular sort of flat squashed oval shape.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
size do you get? How many meters? I don't know any of that stuff. Can't remember it from school. Too hard. So I gave up. And then I saw Mark making these covers on YouTube and I am not very handy in terms of like nailing things and putting things up and all that stuff.
I wouldn't sell yourself short.
Okay. Look, I am of the two of us, I am more handy, but you are 0 degrees.
I would
handy.
Say that I can be handy. I can do it. I just choose not to. I have
okay.
the abilities.
I will say that you can be handy.
What does that mean?
Handsy. I meant handsy.
Okay.
No,
I loved your your double
entendre
that ended up being a single entendre.
Anyway.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So these garden beds are super easy. So if you are like me trying to grow stuff in your garden and have a war going on with your local critters and don't want to use like lots of sprays and things – these are really fun and they'd be great to do with kids as well because they're super easy and it took like 15 minutes and quite cheap. So I just got bamboo stakes, which are like just long bamboo sticks basically, but you could use lots of whatever, sticks, whatever you've got around your garden. And then
could you use rocks?
No, James, they're bloody sticks, mate.
Sticks, okay.
You know what a stick is? Can I just finish my story? People don't even care about this. I have to finish it so we can move on.
You're right. And then I got to talk about a thing people actually want to hear about.
Correct. Exactly. Exactly. Because I'm the niche and you're the popular.
I'm the quiche.
You're the quiche. No, you don't even like quiche. I feel like quiche is more niche.
Quiche is more niche than being niche. We've got to keep moving.
Let's keep moving. All right. So you stick the stakes in at regular intervals and then you buy poly pipe. Shut up.
I'm not even saying anything. Sorry. I just imagine like timed intervals. Like you put one in, then you're like, count 30 seconds. Next one. Okay, here we go.
No, it's measurement.
I know what you meant. I'm an idiot is what I'm saying. Okay. My brain is an idiot. Anyway, sorry, go on.
I've known that for many years. I love you anyway. Okay, so then you get your poly pipe. I had never seen this before. People use it for sprinkler systems and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like plastic kind of black piping. It's kind of flexible and wobbly.
It's good.
So all this, like each of these things probably costs like $15 to $20. So then you get your poly pipe, and you just feed it over the top of your bamboo stakes and create like a little kind of arch, I guess, with it. Now, I put this on my Instagram. I'll save it to my story. So if anyone is out there, and also put a link to Mark doing a much better job of this video in the show notes.
Okay.
But basically they create like little archways. I made three of them in a row. And then I just got my bird netting, which is a government regulation, so no critters can get like caught up in it.
That's good. That's fine.
Yeah, you don't want to like any animals getting injured with your netting.
You don't.
So it's quite fine holes, but enough to get your sun and your water through. And then you just sort of flip the netting 4 meters by 4 meters over it. And then I just bought these plastic clamps from Bunnings, which is like a home hardware store. And I just kind of tied and jiggied the netting over and clamped it around. And they do look a bit wonky and they're not like perfect.
I don't think they look wonky.
They've bloody stayed up.
Yeah.
And we had a torrential hail yesterday and wind, and I thought, this is not going to stick. Bloody stuck. And so Mark from Self Sufficient Me, what a legend. And this was a super, super cheap. It probably took like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you weren't out there for long, yeah.
No, and it was like amazing. It came together really well. And as I've been checking over the last couple of days, no critters are getting in.
It
was
got 1.39 million subscribers, which is slightly more than me. This is outrageous.
Yeah, this is what I'm saying. So maybe
but I get you're more, not the niche. I get more views per video.
All right. He's great. He's got so many great videos.
I'm going to send him a message. Dear Mark.
He's going to single-handedly save the planet.
My videos get slightly more video views. Some of them.
Anyway, what he's doing is actually, all jokes aside, super important because the more of us that can grow veggies at home, the better, right?
I completely agree.
It's one of the things, you know, mass farming. I could get into it. But that's one of the major problems with our ability to create a sustainable planet and reduce emissions and all those things. So big ag, no good. Small ag in your garden, right. Great.
How do you think, like, in terms of mulch, what would it be effective, like, having Hugh Laurie go into a wood chipper? Would that be, like,
more effective than pea straw, which is my favorite type of mulch, just heads up. Oh, I'd have to think about
probably
it.
Probably filled with painkillers and stuff. I don't know whether it would be any good.
Hugo Weaving would make better mulch.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I reckon he's got a lot of weed in him. I don't know that. I just suspect.
Yeah, but that would be kind of like,
he's always
chill.
He's always like, I'm a chill dude.
Yeah, but that's what you want.
He's always like, I hate the Transformers movies. And Michael Bay's like, well, I won't put you in the next Transformers movie. And he's like, good. I want to be in this stupid movie.
I showed our son as a bribe for finishing his writing today a trailer of Bumblebee of the real one. And that kid's eyeballs nearly fell out of his skull.
You should show him that movie. It's like E.T. with a robot.
Yeah, it didn't actually look too full on. He just kept turning to me going, did you know that Bumblebee had a helmet?
Yeah,
he told me in the morning. And I was like, no, I didn't.
He came out, he's like, when I was tired in the morning, I come out and he goes, did you know Bumblebee's got a helmet that slides down? And I go, I know. No, I didn't know that. I would have been like, of course I know that.
Anyway, it was totally lost on me. I was much more into Googling self-sufficient gardening, but I understand. You love what you love.
You guys like
things that won't help the planet, and I like things that might.
Exactly.
Anyway, no, and it worked. There's a little snail sitting on top of my garden bed covers looking very confused.
Just going, ooh.
Literally, it was right up there this morning just looking in. Just like I could see it being like, how do I get in?
It's like this fucking woman.
Yes. Jesus Christ. And I just let it sit there because I thought, yeah, mate, you're right. You're not getting in there. And my seedlings have no holes in them.
Terrific news.
It's amazing. Sorry, that's a long-winded explanation. You'll go.
No, I think it's good. People should garden. Not me, but other people. I watched a very short documentary. It's only 15 minutes. It's called Almost Famous, The Unchosen One, right? It's Ben Proudfoot put it together, and it's on the it's like New York Times YouTube channel or something. Give me a sec. The New York Times, yes. So basically it's about this child actor called Devin Michael, right, who's now in his early 30s. And the most you would have probably seen him in a lot of ads as like a kid. You recognize him. That's his face there. I don't know. He's been in a lot of like commercials and stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, or he just looks like any blonde kid from like the mid-90s. Anyway, what this documentary is about, it's called The Unchosen One because he is one of the last three actors who were going to get the role of Anakin Skywalker in The Phantom Menace, which was one of the most coveted roles in child acting from the 90s. Anakin Skywalker, for you who doesn't know, Claire, is becomes Darth Vader.
Yes.
You may have known that. I don't know.
I do know
He's
that.
Luke Skywalker's father,
I know
right?
things about Star Wars.
Anyway, so it gets into basically the pitfalls of this situation that he was in, right, where he's in this – there's this incredible documentary on the making of The Phantom Menace, which is much better than the movie The Phantom Menace, because it's basically George Lucas walking around and just like making insane decisions and people going, I guess he's a genius. I guess he made Star Wars, I guess. It's great. It's so good. It's, as I said, it's much better than the movie. And the movie I don't even hate. But anyway, it's all about this, like, he gets his hopes up so much because this is going to change his life. Like, he's going to be, like, next level famous. It's going to lift him and his family, like, out of poverty. Like, he was never, like, destitute. But, you know, he was, like, their ticket to, like, you know, another level of being comfortable, right? But the thing is, he didn't get it. Jake Lloyd got it, who was another blonde child actor. Also, it's – and this is very evident in the documentary, and I always thought this, and I've seen this documentary multiple times. He's easily the best out of the three, this guy that didn't get it. Like, by far, you'd have to be a moron to pick somebody else. Or George Lucas, who maybe can't read facial expressions. I don't know. But again, Jake Lloyd was fine because it's a kid role, whatever. But he was devastated as a result of this. And then he had to watch the marketing campaign, which is the biggest of all time for the first Star Wars movie in like 15 years or whatever it was, to ramp up. And there's like Star Wars fever, and he's seeing Anakin Skywalker all over billboards and on Pepsi cans and whatever. And then after the documentary came out, like at school, people were like, oh, you're that guy who's in Star Wars. And he's like, I'm not in Star Wars. Like, I'm in the documentary on the DVD for Star Wars. And it kind of crushed him, like, and his dream of acting and all of these things, like, kind of went away as a result of this thing. But as I don't know if you know this, though, as a result of this, Jake Lloyd, who got the role, he got a lot of hate and ire and backlash and bullying from, like, adults, other children, went on for decades because he's, like, he's not good in this movie, right? I don't know if you've ever seen it. She's shaking her head. No, she's going to open it now in her phone. She's going to watch the entirety of The Phantom Menace. But I don't think it's his fault. Like, the dialogue is not good. It's just not – it's not a very well-written part.
Is this the movie with Jar Jar Binks?
Yes.
You know, I have seen it. Yes.
And so basically people turned on Jake Lloyd, and I don't know where Jake Lloyd is at now, but his life a few years ago took a turn from the worst, and I know he was – he had some – problems with the law, and I know he had some substance abuse issues, and all of that you could probably say is a direct result of – this movie. I would say maybe that was something that would have happened to him regardless. But and this, so it's also this kind of silver lining of like, I didn't have that happen to me, you know. But then again, maybe if he was in it, it would have been better. Maybe he would have done a better job of the role. And it's interesting because it ultimately came down to that Jake Lloyd had more acting experience and could hit a mark, or they thought he could hit a mark better than this kid could because of that reason. And it's like, well, he's just hitting Mark, so it'll be more efficient to get this. Because that's what George Lucas wants. He wants, like, somebody to walk in and, like, stand on the X and go, oh, there's too many tariffs in this Jedi Council or whatever the fuck happens in those movies. And, you know, and he did that. To his credit, Jake Lloyd did, like, exactly what was required of him. But it's just, like, a very hollow, empty kind of
betrayal
in general. And, again, not his fault, I don't think. And, he's not... I'm being too harsh on him. He's not terrible. He's a child in a child's role in a child's movie.
And is this the thing though, right? It's not that being a child actor does in general not seem to be very good for kids.
It's awful. There's a few examples of it kind of going like right.
Like the Harry Potter series?
Yeah, and Harry Potter, I was going to say kids, they're all in their like mid-30s now.
Yeah, but they seem to have been looked after in a way.
Yeah.
That a lot of other kids, I mean, like Drew Barrymore had huge substance abuse issues.
It's amazing that she's
I know she seems okay now, but I mean, she went through some really horrific.
Absolutely.
Macaulay Culkin had a bit of a rocky road.
He's come good though in recent years as well.
Yeah. Mentioning you on the old Twitter.
He did mention me a few years back that he watches Caravan of Garbage, and I was like, oh my God.
I remember that. I was scrubbing the Weet-Bix off the kitchen floor. And then you were like, Macaulay Culkin! And then I had to kind of run upstairs, and you were like, check this out. And I'm like, cool, this is so awesome. I mean, and now I've got to go finish cleaning the kitchen.
Yeah, no, to be fair, like, he doesn't follow me on Twitter. So, like, I could even shoot him a message and be like, hey, thanks for calling. If you're ever in the country, we'd love to have you on. Whenever anybody, like, kind of, like, famous-ish, whatever, messages, I'm just like, just don't hassle them. Just leave them alone. Because the last thing you want is message them and be like, oh, my God, okay, so we could line and we could hang out and we could do it. It's just like, just leave them alone, you know?
Yeah, good plan.
But the weird thing about that is just to talk about the Macaulay Culkin kid thing. Like I've watched him growing up. Like I know he's like so famous, or he was at least. He's still famous, but just like so much of my childhood is like that guy. And now to think that he's seen this dumb thing that I made is just like, ugh. Anyway.
Very cool. Okay, so it's very worth watching.
It's only 15 minutes as well. I think it's fascinating. Short. Yeah, it's terrific. I mean, I did say that up top, but you're too busy Googling Phantom Menace trivia that you're going to hit us with. And here we go. Go. What's your piece of Phantom Menace trivia?
Nobody likes Jar Jar Binks.
That's not actually true. He also copped a lot of flack, the actor behind that.
Do the kids love Jar Jar Binks?
Kids do love Jar Jar Binks. And he had, like, he was suicidal for a time and every, that's Ahmed Best. And it's interesting because there's kind of been a renewed appreciation for maybe that character, but also him as an actor and a performer, because a lot of the stuff that he did in that was a lot of early like motion capture and digital character stuff that then was heavily praised for Gollum. But he did it first, really. It's just that he did it with a character that's fucking insufferable as opposed to Gollum, which could have very easily gone that way as well, really, yeah. When you think about it.
But the movie that it was placed in at the time that it was done, I mean, everyone loves it.
The Phantom Menace does like a lot of – it's a real oddity because it does a lot of really interesting like things technological-wise, and it's essentially an independent movie that George Lucas like funded himself for the most part. It's like this fascinating like experiment.
Mix of like stuff that was really cool that came from George Lucas but also – missing maybe the human element?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I don't mind it. Like I've rubbished it like up and down for like decades, but I actually don't mind it. It's actually pretty interesting as a movie.
You know what is really interesting to me about this? The level of joy that emanates from you when you and I don't know if anyone else out there who has a partner who is deeply into like Star Wars or any of this.
Do you think there might be someone listening to this?
Oh, no, I'm talking primarily to the partners of the people that are like you, basically.
Yeah.
And what it just gives me so much joy watching how much joy you get from it because for the most part you're a very gloomy, cynical kind of human being. But you tap into this particular vein of like Star Wars trivia or like something else and you just become like sunshine and rainbows. You're just skipping along like a little kid. It was like when we were watching Lego Masters and they did a Star Wars theme episode.
And that dude just exploded.
This dude exploded, but you kind of exploded. And our son, I thought he was going to like fall down from a heart attack. He was so excited. It's just something about Star Wars, right, that like makes people just light up. And I don't get it. I'm much more into like putting my hands in the dirt outside in the garden. But I also think cool, and I don't know. It makes me happy to see you so happy.
Thank you very much.
It doesn't happen that often.
I think it's even.
I'm joking. I'm actually joking.
Yeah, very no. I think there is something like just something incredible about Star Wars, and not all Star Wars is good. Like I'm not just talking about modern Star Wars. I'm talking about like Star Wars in the 80s. Like it's not all good.
Yeah.
But there is something about each entry, even the ones that aren't good, that kind of I think brings something. Except maybe The Rise of Skywalker. But that's probably not even true because, like, in a few years I'll probably turn around on it.
What is it about Star Wars? Like, what is it?
I don't know because it's very hard to replicate. Like, it can't really be replicated. I think there's also something about those prequel movies which George Lucas made, which is fascinating that they did move a lot of things forward and try different things with story that the newer movies maybe didn't. Even though I think the newer movies are probably, like, they're technically better movies, I think, except for the last one. But there is something about those ones that really, like, took a leap that the new ones maybe didn't.
And is it
– except for maybe the Last Jedi.
Is it because the world is so immersive? Like, it's just
yeah,
like
I guess
got,
it is.
It's got
yeah,
fun
I think it's
and
got
adventure and cook, heart and
and it's, like, removed.
Good and evil.
It's, like, removed from, like, our reality. You know what I mean? Like, it's not tied to anything. So, like, whenever they make something, it's like, or a set or a whatever, there's nothing there that's like, oh, that's a fork. It has to be like a specific type of Star Wars fork. Do you know what I mean? It's just everything about it. So anyway.
It's immersive and endless and kind of amazing. Well,
and it's silly. It's like a silly thing. And I think that's why I also – anyway, we're going to wrap this up. What are we doing?
Yeah, I've got one more recommendation. I'll just –
should we save this for next week, this piece of paper?
Oh, what do you think? I could save my recommendation.
No, do your recommendation.
All right, okay. So this was a gift that was given to me by my family, and Annabelle Warne is a beautiful illustrator and artist.
Mm.
You can follow her at Annabelle. That's AnnabelleWarne illustration.
Strange.
And she does work, I think she does work primarily with drawing and then watercolor. She also makes animations as well. And
illustrations.
She does kind of like personalized little illustrations of people's pets and their kids and a garden scene or a little house. And you can just send her a photo and she'll recreate it as a painting. And it's just gorgeous. And she does it as a gift for lots of different people. I got given one of our kids, but you could do one of your family home or a beloved pet that's even one that's passed away.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's just real. And I think it's such a beautiful present.
I'd love to show ours, but it would show exactly what our kids look like.
Yeah, so correct. Really gorgeous. He's really captured them. It's really great. Them.
And our kids love it. They're like, oh my God. Even our daughter, who's like 1.5, was looking at it like, that's me.
Yeah, it's beautiful. And she frames them for you and we'll send them to you. So they're not super cheap, but so they're not, you know, ridiculously expensive. But they are, they're not super cheap. Yeah.
I think there's there is this stigma, and I would say a lot of people listening to this probably know this and don't need to hear it, but like this, it's like work and effort and
the amount of artistry and
so much stuff.
And especially to capture people. And I think we don't think about that in terms of the number of hours and then what you would charge as an hourly rate. Like, we're okay to pay a plumber $300 or something to come and fix something. But someone who's an artist who's practiced for so long.
It's not considered an essential.
Yeah. Essential service. But it actually is. I think lockdown's highlighted that even more, right? That what gets us through art. Right? And story.
And podcasts
like this one. Anyway, so Annabelle grew up in rural Australia on the Murray River, and she studied graphic design in Melbourne and then moved to Berlin for a few years as a freelance designer. And she loves being outside, and you can see that in her work. She does a lot of native wildlife and natural environments and then snippets of places she goes. She also has a beautiful little pug puppy dog. So if you follow her on Instagram, you can have a look at her photos of her and drawings of her pug as well. But yeah, if you're looking for a really unique gift for Christmas for a loved one, I think it would be a beautiful gift to kind of do as a whole family and give to your parents or something at their family home, or like a beloved animal or the grandkids. Anyway, contact her. And if you are in another country, and I'm not sure if she ships overseas, you could absolutely do this with another local artist. I think it's such a good present, and you've still got time because it's only October to find a good local illustrator, give them like a photo and get them to recreate something. I think it's, you know, getting a framed photo is also lovely, but there's something extra special about a painting, I think, or
definitely
a drawing. So anyway, that's it. That's my recommendation.
I follow this this amazing account. It's called For Exposure, and it's basically people being like, hey, I need an artist. Hey, I need an editor. And then the person's like, oh, yeah, these are my rates. And they're like, what, I thought you – or that's too much, or I thought you just do it, like, because I've got 2,000 Instagram followers. And they're like, I don't give a shit. I need food and, like, money and stuff. Like, and they're like, well, if you loved it, you just do it. It's like, get fucked. Like, people should be paid for their work no matter what.
Yeah.
Like you said, you wouldn't be like, ask a plumber to go around and be like, oh, don't worry, I'll tell my mates how good you are at plumbing, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Ridiculous.
But I do think that art sometimes is – incredibly undervalued. That's what gets everyone through, you know, in art in all its different forms. So anyway, and by that, because I know you have a catchphrase, fuck art.
Fuck art.
But you're but art is like writing and film and TV.
And podcasting.
Everything. And podcasting.
You should support your favorite podcasters by sending them an envelope full of cash.
Correct. For your birthday. Just whenever.
All right, excellent. Should we wrap it up? I think maybe we'll save this for next week.
What do you reckon?
Why not? Or we can do it now, whatever.
I don't know. What do you think?
Save it for next week.
All right, okay.
Do you want me to give people a taste?
This is a
piece of writing that Claire wrote in
1996. I don't think I could do it.
Life is a lot. Life is like, sorry.
Okay, hold on. Context. I was like 11.
Yeah.
10.
Oh, this is better than anything I've ever written. So, no shade.
The handwriting's pretty good. It's pretty good. Like one of those pens with different colors.
I hate how you've changed the pen color every line. Life is like a lot of closed doors, and you have to pick the one you want and work for the key. One of the doors I would like to open is the door with a published book behind it. I would like to be a writer and a poet. Writing a story to a human would be like singing a song for a bird. It's true. Is it? Hey, bird. Hey, bird, stay still. I'm going to sing a song at you. Explaining how you feel, creating other people's emotions, and keeping people listening or looking with admiration or excitement. It's true. That's not inaccurate. Another door I'd like to open is education. Being a teacher would be pretty hard, but never really boring. Disagree. it is boring sometimes, but it is hard. Helping others to take on life with confidence must be one of the greatest feelings in the world. That's not inaccurate, actually. When you see a kid get a thing or they get through school and you're like, I slightly contributed to that kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I really love this kid. I can't really remember being this kid, but
such a nerd.
I just really understand why I didn't have any friends in primary.
You had friends.
I was such an old soul. I'm older and wiser in this piece of writing than I am
You're
now.
Way sillier now. And I think I might have broken you in your brain or something.
But like what kind of kid sits down and anyway.
I bet they were like talk about the things that you want to be when you're older.
Yeah, I know.
I love old libraries and books. So maybe when I'm older, a lot older, I may become a librarian. I don't know whether I want to get married or not. See how that pans out. I suppose it depends who I meet and when I meet them. I love to act, sing and dance.
Oh my God.
This bit is grim. This bit makes me go, ooh. I love to act, sing and dance, but I don't think I'll ever get the chance to perform. I like to I like to dream that one day I might be on stage acting as the star. And to be fair, you have done that. You have done like musical theatre and theatre in general with like, lead roles. Even though in reality.
Amateur theatre.
Doesn't matter. Even though in reality I know that that is not where my talents lie. Fuck, that is so like self-aware. And also like debilitating. I think it would be cool to try. Some kids are like, I'm going to play in the AFL. That's Australian football. I'm going to be a sports star. You know how many, it's weird because as a kid, it's like, there's so many people like, I'm going to be a rock star. I'm going to play up in the NBA. I don't know a single person who has achieved any of their goals. That's a fact. Yeah. And I think it's like maybe a byproduct of our time that we grew up in or whatever. I don't know, but like.
That we were told we could be anything.
Yeah, it's just not true. And I don't mean to like step on anybody's dreams.
Well, this is what I have to say, this kid writing this. She's very self-aware.
I think so. Look, you've done a lot of these things. I remember you singing a song for a bird.
No, James. No. Get it right. A story to a human
would be like singing a song for a bird.
I think so.
This should be in the loo. That's not actually true that I do know people who have achieved things that they wanted to achieve. I just think as a kid, if you're like, I want to play in the NBA, and it's like, yeah, if you're fucking 7 feet tall, maybe you can play in the NBA.
Imagine if you're getting this on your desk as a teacher and you're just reading kids being like, I want to be a football player. I'd like to be a transformer one day. Yeah. I think I might like to be a ballerina.
But I actually don't have the ability.
No, but then they're reading this.
Oh, right,
like,
yeah.
It sounds like the manifesto of a 55-year-old cat lady.
Yeah, it seems like, yeah, it's more like regret for things that you won't do.
It's me doing my talents lie. I like libraries and old books.
Who doesn't like libraries? There's something really cool about that. Even though in reality I know that is not where my talents lie. Jesus. I think it would be cool to travel overseas. The countries I would like to visit are Ireland, France, and America. You've done that and beyond.
Correct.
Yeah. Last bit. My hopes and dreams will change in time as I learn to understand more about my life. So true. Man, this is great. If I wrote this, I would never want somebody to read this out.
Really, I'm not sure if I can allow you to leave.
But thank you for sharing that. I thoroughly enjoyed that. When I read that, it took me like 15 minutes to read it because I was just so dying. It's like such a roller coaster of emotion. It's very well written. Like, honestly, if I got this as a teacher, I'd be like, fuck, this is like pretty good and grim.
I think this is why the teachers really always really liked me a lot, but none of the kids did.
Nah, I bet the teachers didn't like you that much.
Yeah, I bet they didn't either.
Yeah.
Because you know what's funny about it? I sort of can't really remember what I was like much as a kid, and I wasn't sure. And then I read that and I was like, oh, that's right.
You remember.
I remember just now.
Filled with dread.
No, I just used to sit and read a lot.
Yeah.
And like I think I'd never quite connected with other kids very well because, and now I know why. Because I was contemplating life and thinking about old books.
Yeah.
And being. Very.
You know what I think part of this as well is? I think there's like a bit of, let's just psychoanalyze this.
Oh, God.
This thing from 1996. That there's a bit of like, this is what adults like want to hear. Do you know what I mean? There's a bit of like, these are the expectations they have of me and how I have of myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
There's a bit of like, I don't know, maybe I'm reading into a bit much.
I'm trying to impress the grown-ups. Yeah,
definitely.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. But yes. And I'm also, because I remember thinking of myself as wanting to be a writer.
Yeah.
And in primary school, the teachers are always saying I was a good writer.
Yeah.
And I was so, that line about being a bird, writing a song for a bird.
Oh, mate.
I know that I thought I'd nailed it. Like I can tell in my own little voice that I was like, this is lyrical and poetic because I wanted to be a poet.
Doesn't even make any sense.
Yeah, but at the time, you know, James, come on. It's like create. Anyway.
I think you're doing a lot of cool things.
Thanks,
and
mate.
You have even before you were podcasting.
Thanks,
mate. You've done a lot of these things except for singing a song for a bird.
That was not a goal. I was merely comparing writing some words for a song is the same as singing a song for a bird.
Yeah. Man, I love kids. They're so weird.
I know, I love it.
Every kid's different. And then as an adult, they're like, it all gets beaten out of them and everyone's the same person.
Okay. And I have to say that that's one thing reading that. I'm bloody always been very odd.
Yeah.
And I'm still odd. And if you're odd, you're my person too because being bloody odd is great.
This reminds me, I'll tell one of my favourite teaching stories, even though it's like got nothing to do with this, but I just it just always stuck with me. I taught this kid a few years back when I was teaching and he was great. He was just like a real like odd duck kind of kid and, you know, he had friends and stuff or whatever, but he was a nice kid and he had like fun ideas and he was like a bit dark and a bit weird, but it was cool. It was interesting and that's what I liked about him. Someone's parent had died or something. I can't remember. So you got to do like a grief thing, you know what I mean, where you might talk about death and what it means and if you've experienced anything like that, et cetera, and so forth. Anyway, he puts his hand up and he goes, and he kind of talked like this. He was like, when I was a baby, a man, I was in my grandma's house and a man climbed into the window and murdered my grandma and now I'm worried he's going to come back and murder me. And I'm like, what the fuck? Excuse me? And I'm like, okay, I'll just like put a pin in that. Like I can't just be like, do you want to fucking elaborate on that? What do you mean? Your grandma was murdered? What are you, Harry Potter? What the fuck are we talking about? Anyway, so before I got a chance to speak to the parents, so another kids must have told, like gone home and told the mum, because that's something you ring for and be like, hey, what the fuck is up with this thing? Did this thing happen? And they came in and they're like, His grandma wasn't murdered. Like, I don't know why he said that.
She's still alive.
She's still alive. I'm like, and she's like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, we don't know, like, why he's, and I'm like, he's fine. He's great. You don't need to, like, you don't need to worry about it. He's like a nice kid. Because I think that other kid who was like quite sporty and like like you'd expect from like more, I guess, for lack of a better word, normal. And he was like a bit of an odd bod. But that, again, that's why I liked him. And just the like, we don't know why he's like this. But like fucking relax. He's all right. Don't worry about it. He'll be all right. And he probably is.
And that's the thing though, right? Like at the end of the day, be so bloody boring if we're all different.
Yeah.
If we're all the same.
The thing you said. Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, I wonder what, like,
I don't know why he said that. Like, there was no, like, lead up, which is why I'm like, is this true? Like, because it just came out of the blue. I don't know what, like, why he said it.
That's my favorite.
And he looked like it happened. Like, his face, like, he really sold it.
Yeah. Oh, God. But that's the cool thing about being a kid. Everything is so vivid for you. You know, like it's so vivid and there's a line between what's real and what isn't that is quite blurry.
Mm.
And that line you're kind of walking where things are in your imagination but maybe they're real or maybe they're not. And you sort of know they're not but maybe I just love that time in your life. And speaking to kids when they're in that is just so cool.
Yeah.
Because they blur things and I just love it and they make me giggle.
Anyway, he's a great kid. I loved him.
What a legend. Speaking of legends.
Here we go. What do we got?
I've got an email. Would you want to do a review?
No. Yeah, I have to bring up my review because my computer died.
Okay, excellent. So if you would like to send us a suggestible for the podcast, we would absolutely love it. You guys are awesome. And I've just loved hearing from all of you that have written in. Please keep doing it. It keeps me going.
Yeah.
I have a very cool and funny email that's quite long that I was going to read today, but I'm going to save it because we're out of time.
Next week. No
so
worries.
I'm going to do a shorter one. Now, this one is from David Krapenschitz. Yes.
I've heard this name before.
I know. And it's a bit of a downer email, but I thought, you know, in solidarity, I'd read it out. Hey guys, sorry if this sounds like a bit of a moan, but I feel like I need to talk about this a little bit more and none of my friends group is really interested and I've heard you guys talk about world events before. We do. The Pandora Papers were published early this week and revealed yet again that most of the world's elites are hoarding cash offshore to avoid tax.
It's true.
As well as buying up massive amounts of foreign properties. This is incredibly frustrating for me, especially as taxes were just raised in the UK and the fact that there will likely be no consequences for these elites. Just as there was when the Panama Papers were leaked 5 years ago. I don't know. I just feel extremely frustrated with the state of the world in general, and this just makes things worse. So his suggestible is a great docudrama from 2018 about the Panama Papers, which sheds more light on the car bombing of the journalist who first exposed the story. Sorry to be a downer. Love the pod, and you guys really cheer me up. Mate, I've been enraged by that story too. And I hear ya, and thanks for writing in.
Absolute bullshit. It's not enough to, like, raise the tax on people who have certain wealth.
Yeah.
And many people hear that, they go, a lot of people are like, well, that you shouldn't do that because that's going to affect me or whatever. It's like, no, it's not going to affect you. It's going to affect, like,
this, billionaires. Like, the top, like, and millionaires. 0.5% or something in the world. I know, exactly. And that's what frustrates me so much because if all of that cash that was being hoarded, even a fraction of it was shared.
Yeah. But the problem is as well, like a lot of their income, it's not like it doesn't come in the way that it like normal income does. They don't get a wage and then you lose like 40% of it or whatever the proposed amount is. It's like it's scribbled away in different like investments and things like that. So you never like withdraw like a whole lot of it to be taxed on it, essentially, in a nutshell.
Yeah.
That's an idiot's way of explaining it.
But, I know, Elizabeth Warren does a really great job of explaining all of this stuff. And I remember once she had a big bowl of corn chips and she said, if in America we just taxed the rich, and it's basically the billionaire she's talking about, and if this was their wealth and it was like a big bowl of corn chips, if I just taxed them this crumb, and she took one crumb out and was like, that would be enough to lift everybody out of poverty and pay for everybody's healthcare and society would be fine.
Yeah.
And it's not – so it's not like we're asking even for one chip. It's like a crumb. So, yes, David, I hear ya. You're absolutely not alone.
And there's also a lot of misinformation because a lot of media companies are owned by people like this or who have friends who are this wealthy. And so there's a lot of, like, misinformation that gets people fighting amongst themselves, talking about culture wars and be like, everything's too woke, when that's, like, not the problem. The problem at heart is that there is a massive wealth divide and it continues to grow on a daily basis, especially when you consider that during the pandemic era, billionaires, there were more billionaires created and increased in wealth than prior, while other people were slipping into poverty, is all I'm saying. Anyway, this is a review from Ty Paul.
Correct. Go for it. You can
review an app.
You absolutely can.
So you're frustrated with the system and the like and the mechanisms of entertainment that are feeding you misinformation, maybe like Apple Podcasts. You can review our show right in there. Typal says, the best chemistry. This is a hot take, but I enjoy this more than a more successful podcast that I know.
Ooh.
But all jokes aside, I love listening to the chemistry between James and Claire. The lovely banter is always really enjoyable, and it's just an all-around great podcast. Thank you very much, Typal. You can review in app. I'm making my way through. If you could, that'd be great.
Thanking you, and please reply to us as Just What Pod. We love to hear from you guys. And this has been an extra long show.
It certainly has.
It certainly has.
Wasn't meant to be, and I'm sorry.
I know, but we got talking, and then we had to share the genius of 11-year-old Claire.
Yeah.
Just spilling her guts.
Good fun times.
Good God. All right.
If you find anything else this insane, please let me know. No, I love it.
I'm an artist, what can I say?
You must be. All right, thanks. You're welcome. Thanks to Royal Collings for the edit and for linking everything below.
Thanking you. Okay, and bye.
Goodbye.
Have a good week. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.